Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Three Beards EPL podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, here with Arsenal fan Ken Lee and Manchester City fan James Lewis. Ken, how are we doing today?
I'm not bad, Thomas. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Soccer-wise, not great, but overall pretty decent.
James, I'm great, guys.
James is doing great. That's fantastic.
I am doing amazing.
Yeah, well, Manchester City just put out a new movie, which I will not watch out of principle, but it sounds great. I am interested in the David Silva story. I think it's special in the sentimental kind of way that Manchester City supported him as much as they did. He had a preemie baby. It was like 3 months preemie, I think, right? Three months premature?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, and the club allowed him to leave. They allowed him time off, which a lot of times now you hear like they get a week here and there, but then you hear as the seasons go on in all major sports, like this guy had been dealing with a premature baby for the whole season and that kind of stuff. So it was that. I will give Manchester City credit for that. James, Jose Mourinho will not give them credit for that. He said that you can't buy class, and who knows class better than Jose Mourinho?
And Pep. Pep's response was, I agree, we can't buy class.
Yeah, bomb diffused. But I thought it was really funny. Football 365 came out with an article that was basically said, who made Jose the king of class? And it was all these different times that Jose...
Well, his actions have defined it for him. I mean, everyone knows that he's the reigning definition of class.
Well, I think it was either like the Mirror or one of the magazines over there, and the back page headline had a picture of City and it said class, and then it had a picture of like United players and they said clowns.
That's in red. Nice. That's not very nice. I don't like that.
It's brilliant.
How much more annoying does the weekend have to get for Jose Mourinho when the guy he's trying to poke won't even play back?
Well, it's pretty simple for Pep. I mean, somebody said it was a rivalry. It's really not. It's like it's a rivalry in the same way that the Yankees and Red Sox are a rivalry. Like the Yankees have like 28 titles and the Red Sox have like 6. Like it's not really a rivalry. That's not a rivalry. And I feel that way about Manchester United versus Manchester City in general, but I don't feel that way about Pep versus Jose, even though both of them have a very close amount of titles that they've had. I mean, right now it's not a rivalry. And I think one-on-one, James, it's not a rivalry either. I think Pep kind of owns Jose.
I think Jose has a very rigid philosophy, and I think he just gets outmaneuvered by Pep pretty much every time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really that for me, if it's more the tactics that they play, but they've gone head to head obviously in Spain with Real Madrid for Jose Mourinho and Barcelona with Pep Guardiola, and I mean Pep reigned supreme except for one season when Jose won the title there, but I think did Pep win the Champions League that year? I don't remember. But overall, one-on-one, Jose and Pep, you'd have to say that Pep owns Jose. I mean, that's the way it is. And right now, I mean, that kind of kicks off what we have for this week in Premier Week 2. Guys, I have a question for you. I'll start with you, Ken. So you had Chelsea versus Arsenal, which is a really good game in terms of entertainment. But then you also have the storyline of Manchester United versus Brighton with all the cloud, the big black Mourinho cloud that surrounds Manchester United right now. Which game do you want to actually use as our headliner? Because both of them have a ton of storylines.
I mean, we probably have to go to a partial opinion here and go, unfortunately, to James. I just feel like when Arsenal starts the season off 2 weeks in, 0 points, never did I think I'd be thanking a United for coming to save the pressure.
Yeah, absolutely
from Arsenal. Now, all of a sudden, Arsenal's not looking so bad because we've gotten exactly what everyone expected. 0 points out of a possible 6 going against City, the best team in the world right now, and Chelsea, a formidable, I think, challenger for at least a top 6.
A rejuvenated Chelsea side.
true. Let's use that term. Rejuvenated Chelsea side under the chain-smoking Sarri. And then now, you know, I had to answer a lot of questions until around 12:30 on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I know you had some tough press conferences to deal with.
And then, well, to you guys, I couldn't even have my phone in my hand without wanting to throw it.
You really shouldn't.
It's funny, though, because Tom went dark pretty quick.
Tom, you, no, you huddled in to what I feel was probably the loneliest corner in your house, shook back and forth. You grabbed your knees, you shook back and forth, and you just thought to yourself, how did we lose to Brighton?
Yeah. Okay.
How did we lose? I've been making fun of Ken for 2 weeks for losing to City and Chelsea, and we just lost to Brighton.
And it wasn't even close.
And it wasn't even close. Exactly.
First of all, it was impossible for me to be alone because my wife is in Nashville all weekend through Sunday night. So I had both kids. Impossible for me to be alone. Whether or not I locked them in a single room that was very small during that time period is another question. But no idea. I was not alone rocking back and forth. I didn't go dark.
It must have been hard to cry in front of your kids. They must have been wondering why daddy was so sad.
That's one of those monumental moments in your childhood when you see your father cry for the first time.
Just ugly cry?
Yeah. Bawling.
I'm rocking back and forth and crying.
I'm not there yet, but I'll say this. I didn't go dark so much as it was that James has an Android and the rest of us have iPhones, and the group chat gets caught up, and I had 70 text messages show up at 8 p.m., and I was like, oh, I thought you guys were being nice to me and not bombing me with stuff, and I read all 70 in a row, and I'm like, wow, you guys are
really
mean.
We've been going all day. We've been going in on you all day, and you had thrown your phone across
the room. I totally missed it, honestly. I don't have a problem responding to
you. You turned your phone off.
Hard to get text messages when your phone's powered off.
Well, I was watching the game on my phone, so no, it's not. But anyway, so we'll start with that match. Brighton 3, Manchester United 2 at Brighton. And guys, Jose Mourinho said this team wasn't ready. He said it would be a tough season. James, he said it. He said it.
Yeah, he said it. The man's a prophet. It's going to be a tough season if this is how it continues. And two goals in that game was flattering to Man United. They looked terrible.
I agree. They were completely awful.
And I just wonder if we're finally seeing Mourinho just kind of give up and say, oh, yeah, we're going to play Lukaku and Fellaini up top, and we're going to hit long balls to him, and that's the only way we're going to be able to score goals because it looks like the only way they can be effective.
I don't like to do this. I'm just happy that they lost. I mean, I needed another big team to lose to kind of give the pressure off of my boys, and let's just move on. But yeah, to James's point, I mean, there's no – It was as if United didn't even show up, and then everything after the game was just, I thought, perfect. Yeah. I mean, they pan over to old Eddie in the stands, and he looked about as happy as someone who had just poked his eyeball. And then you listen to the post. Did you guys listen to the post-match press conference?
I didn't listen
from
to it,
Jose?
But I read the comments.
Oh, man. It was cute. I love – he's always playing the victim, this guy. Jose, I mean, every time I poke one of my guys, I mean, you guys just make me look bad, and yeah. I'm only going to talk about my players now if you're asking me to praise them. Like, give me a break. And then Pogba comes out and says, my attitude wasn't right during the game. Ugh.
Yeah, obviously.
Genius.
Couldn't complete a 10-yard pass.
Yeah, dude. And he kept losing the ball like crazy. And I understand.
And then fouling people.
Yeah. Prolific players, like, the prolific player on every team is going to get the most stick, but he looked god awful in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, is it I mean, this is more for you, Tom. Does this play into the narrative that he is just not going to play for Mourinho, or is this just a bad game? I mean, I don't know. How can you have a bad game against Brighton?
Oh, you can have a bad game against anybody.
Not that bad, Thomas. He just won a World Cup.
Yeah, this was supposed to be his turning point.
He's not good enough for sure. But I think the tactics were wrong. To me, this reminded me of the Sevilla game. You're going in against an opponent. It's actually worse than the Sevilla game. You're going against an opponent that was much weaker than you, and you go in with basically a 4-5-1, and you're not looking to beat them. You're looking to beat to just score one more goal than them and not beat them into the ground. And I think that if you want to win the league, I've said this a million times, you have to smack around the bad teams. And then you play 500 ball against the big teams. but smack around the smaller teams. And to go in with that kind of attitude, which has been building for the entire offseason, that you're really just going to try to scrape out a win away, even against a team that's bottom five. I mean, that to me is why, when they lost the game, when they lined up with a neutral or even defensive strategy instead of trying to push forward. And then from there, you just had guys that they're trying to, like, Pogba's trying to lift the team up by himself because he is going to stay there. He has to stay there. That, you know, they can't get rid of him.
They could sell him.
And they could sell him in January, I guess.
No, the windows aren't closed yet for the, like, they could sell him to Barcelona. He could go.
I mean, I guess kind of, but I mean, really.
Mourinho stood up and he told Ed Woodward to sell Martial. He's going to be gone in the next 10 days.
But they don't have any backup. I don't think they can sell Martial. They don't have anybody else to play outside to be the backup winger. I mean, Martial started.
Well, it's quite clear, Thomas, that they don't need attackers. Like, they're playing defensively for the next 36 weeks. So.
You just need Lukaku and Fellaini.
I don't think that's Martial's attack. I mean, can he play left back?
You bring up a good point about transfers, right? You're saying that they were going to bring in an outside winger. But if you guys remember back in May, Jose Mourinho said, write all the stories you want. I'm not in the market for an attacker unless somebody leaves. Martial didn't leave. They're not buying an attacker. Obviously, the window's closed now. But until he was leaving, they weren't buying anybody. And people were like, well, he didn't get the winger he wanted. Well, he wasn't in the market for a winger. He said he wasn't. And he said that stuff before in other seasons. And he said, whenever he says our business is done, our business is this, that's the only time that he's really telling the truth. But in this case, talk about transfers of wingers. Let's talk about transfers of center backs. Guys, both those center backs, Lindelof and Eric Bailly, were bought by Jose Mourinho and not in the offseason and not for £5 million. They're both bought for 30. So those are his two starting center backs. It's not really like you can Bailly say, well, we didn't ever want him.
Like a fish out of water.
Oh, man, he was bad.
Who, Bailly?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, his tackle was about as predictable as I've seen before for the penalty.
I mean, it wasn't... That's the thing. It wasn't just like a Pogba issue. I mean, it was an entire team issue. Completely. I blame that on management.
But,
I mean,
yeah,
that's
what I think. It's got to be. I mean, but Martial is a product of that as well, because Mourinho has spent his entire time just pushing Martial down into the dirt.
Yep.
This is a player that looked exciting under Louis van Gaal.
Which is saying something.
The issue, though, honestly. I don't think that the players that they currently have want to play for Mourinho. I don't think that Mourinho wants to even manage the current players he has. And more importantly, the window is pretty telling. I don't think players want to come to United.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, where's Rashford? What's he doing?
Maybe they want to come to United, but they don't want to come to United with Mourinho. And that,
they want to. That's what I said. Who would want to? Who would want to go and play in that game against
people
Brighton?
Who are getting paid 25% more at Manchester United? I don't think that really rings true.
Mercenaries?
Sure.
I mean, every player now is
I don't like to agree with James on anything. With James on this. I think until Mourinho leaves, you're not getting a player that, like, truly, really wants to be at United. Okay. They might come there for the money.
Guys go to Russia for like $300K a week. I don't really believe in that.
Yeah.
But they also go to Russia and don't get lambasted every Sunday. When they miss a pass,
mainly because they can't understand what their managers are saying.
No, I don't really agree with that. I think that Manchester United
think there's no issue as long as
it's a different
sitting there.
But that's the thing. You're not competing with those Russian clubs for those mid tier players. You want to be bringing stars that want to be playing at the top of their game, that want to be winning leagues and Champions Leagues, and it's not going to happen with this Mourinho team at United. So you're not going to be able to bring in the players of, you know, one of Jose's problems with Martial is that he's not of the required quality for United. Well,
in that position that he's asked.
If I was a player of the quality that United wanted, there's a lot of other teams that I'd want to go to first.
A big handful of those teams,
too, will pay as much or more than United. I mean, PSG will pay you whatever you want.
Right now, currently, to answer your question, I've only heard, and I can't remember his name, so it's pointless to even bring this up, but I remember reading an article saying that I don't want to go to United. I don't want to play for Mourinho. And okay. I'm sure one of you two know
doesn't
what I'm talking
mean anything
about.
To me. I don't know who
it's in the summer.
About.
It does
Mourinho
mean
tried. Mourinho
to
tried
you.
To get Godin, no. The defender, and he and Godin
it
said no.
It means, maybe that's the guy I'm talking about. It
Godin
does mean
didn't
something.
Say no because of Mourinho. Mourinho makes defenders look good. Godin said no because he's been playing Atletico Madrid for like 10 years, and he can make the same wages there.
I mean, Mourinho's not making this batch of defenders look good.
I mean, they were the second leanest defense in the league last year, and they're not
Here he goes, standouts. Leaning on what happened last season. Like, we got to focus on what happened last season.
His success at second place last
season. It's two games in, and you guys are throwing me under the bus like Arsenal's in a crisis.
Arsenal's been in a crisis for 3 years.
We played the best team in the world in a top six competitor. You played two teams, one of them that's going to get relegated, and one of them's going to be in the top 12. And you have 3 points. How are you not worse off than me right now?
Because we have 3 points.
Oh, my God.
Well, technically, he's right.
I don't know
right.
how else to say it.
Well, technically, but anyway, yeah,
guys,
I mean,
we have to progress here because we've been on this for 10 minutes.
This is, I just want to say, for me, as a City fan, this is like watching two gutter rats fight over a turd.
I knew you were going to bring that up again.
And I'm just really happy.
It's still pretty accurate. So let's talk real quick. I want to put an end to the conversation for Manchester United. We talked about Jose saying that he's not getting the support he needs, and it's well documented and black and white that he spent over, what, £300 million on this current team that we have.
Should have some of the players he needs in that group.
Yes, I agree with that completely. I also think that outside of one club in the entire world, you can't get away with buying a new 11/14. You can't turn your whole squad over. Well, managers are asked
to do more. No, it's not. It's not, because look at the record purchases. If you could have brought in two players you needed instead of paying $100 million for Pogba. You could have brought in three players needed instead of bringing in Lukaku.
What is Man City's record signing, like 60 or something?
It's like it was
City's is 60.
It's 60. There's a point to that. However, on the other side of that, they also have purchased 5 of the top 7 defenders in the history of the world.
And who had the best defense last year, and who's going to have the best defense this year?
City, because they had the best attack.
Well, there you go.
I don't think they had the best defense. I just don't.
Well, we had the defense. How many goals did we let in?
I don't think so either. And I think that if you look at the game this weekend, you can tell, like, you shouldn't be giving up such a soft throw, like set piece goal like that. I don't care if you're winning 2 or 3-0 at the time that it goes in. A team like City should not let that go. And I mean, a bounce in the box and then right to an attacking player. I mean, there are definitely holes in that defense, for
if
sure. That,
if those are the goals that we – if we concede one of those goals every game, it won't matter because we're going to win.
That's what happened last year.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to rely on that, for sure, definitely. I don't think it's an issue per se, but I do think that when you say that the best defense in the world, I mean, they have, you know, the same holes, maybe if not worse holes than a lot of other defenses.
Tom said, hey, Mourinho makes defenders look good. Who had the second fewest goals conceded last year? It was United. But who had the fewest goals conceded last year? It was City. And it doesn't just go to, you know, you need players to play their positions and you need players to play the system. Mourinho has a system that is so ultra defensive that you should always have the least goals conceded, even if you don't have the most goals scored. But you didn't. And
it kind of backtracks.
You spent $100 million on a midfielder and $90 million on an attacker, and you don't have the players you need.
And
that's
gets mad
your
when
own
they
fault.
Don't play defense.
Yeah, that's your own fault.
We don't ever work in dollars. Stop that. We always work in pounds, and we work weekly wages too. All right, so let's we're not going to do Manchester City versus Manchester United defense because that's like another 15 minutes. Let's finish up with the Manchester United Brighton conversation with this. I sent you guys a text message showing you the odds for the sack race. That is the player, the manager who is most likely to be sacked. Jose Mourinho jumped to the front again, now all the way down to 3-1. And Manchester United's title credentials, their title odds dropped from 7-1 to 25-1.
Okay, yeah. That's the one I thought. Yeah, that's the one I saw. I didn't see the other text you sent, but I saw 25-1.
Yeah, I didn't see the sack race text, but I saw the 25-1.
Yeah, 25-1. So let me ask you both this, and just make it quick because you've been on United for a while now, and they only played Brighton. So we got other games to talk about, and they lost to Brighton. But let's finish it with this. James, when do you think Jose Mourinho is fired?
Christmas.
Ken?
I don't think they fire him until – and I can't give you a time.
He quits.
He doesn't quit. I don't think he would quit because I don't know what the economical ramifications of that for him are.
That's
but
right.
I think that he won't be fired until they are, I would say, mathematically out of like finishing eighth.
It's going to be mathematically out of
finishing
fourth.
I think they'll give him longer than that because they're going to think, too, yep. of the economical ramifications of firing him. He's on a 5-year contract. He's only been there for 2 years.
I'm revising my answer because if you look at it rationally, he's gonna get fired after he gives an ultimatum with like a week left to go in the January transfer window because Woodward is not bringing in the players he's requesting.
Yeah, I hate the interesting January point. Anyway.
I just think that Woodward has a little bit more spirit about him too. Maybe even, you know, to spite himself for a season, it would make Mourinho look worse to stay.
We'll see. I think
it's got to be a mathematical.
I want him to stay for a long time.
Me too. I told that to Tom 2 years ago. I want him to stay for the whole 5 years.
I've said that too. I'm happy. This is great.
Yeah, it is great as a City fan. Still more trophies in Arsenal, but you know, I don't want him to stay. I hate the black cloud. I want him to go, but you have to commit. If you're a United fan, you have to commit to Jose because he's going to be there until United are mathematically eliminated. So that puts you at a point where you have to say, well, am I rooting for them to lose? You can't do that. That's not what you do as a fan. So I have to stick by this team. I will continue to try to find positives in their play, even when they lose 3-2. And I'll stick by them. I mean, it's going to be a really, really long year for United fans. I think that United finishes between third and fifth still. I haven't really changed on that account. And I think that it's just going to be a black year. You know,
well,
it's
let's
going
say
to be
this.
Bad.
Really courageous of you
let's
to
go
still
really
root
quickly.
It's not that courageous.
On
only 2 games.
Yeah, 3-5. I think 3-5 is still definitely attainable for sure. It is only 2 weeks, even though it has been a very poor 2 weeks for United and Mourinho. But
I see every lower half team getting after them after this.
Yeah, but they get after everybody except.
Let's
for
also
City.
Say maybe who they're going after would make a difference on when then if they fire them too.
Yeah.
Zidane is available, I mean, if he becomes the play, then you fire him maybe even yesterday.
In January.
I believe. No, you fire him yesterday.
They're not going to do that.
They didn't fire him yesterday.
To.
No, I know. I'm just saying it. Like, not in reality yesterday. You
they
donkey.
Didn't fire him yesterday.
But let's just say, like, he does say, hey, yeah, I'm interested in being the United manager. I think you fire him as soon as you can.
Well, I think
that's a bad precedent. I wouldn't do that.
It set a bad precedent when you signed him for 5 years.
You had to start the season with him because you can't be the director or whatever that fires Jose Mourinho before the start of the season. But if you let Jose Mourinho play out his third season arc, then in the winter when he gives you that ultimatum of bringing in players, you go like, no, I'm going to bring in Zidane.
Yeah.
I mean, in Tom's definition, I mean, if they finish third, he should be fired because Tom's all about progression with United. And it's
that's true. That'd
it's
be
a
step
successful
back.
Season if it's progression and second was successful.
I can't wait to see how they do in the Champions League.
Terrible.
I think it's going to be a disaster.
He'll probably win it and then we'll finish in eighth. I'll cry. But I'll be happy. I'll take that win. All right, so let's move on to teams that could be contending with Chelsea or with Manchester United for sixth place. Chelsea versus Arsenal here, and we'll start with you, Ken. I'll give you your fair shots in. It looked bad from the beginning, but Arsenal came back, and overall, how would you rate Arsenal's their performance?
From a game I thought really by the end, you know, based on the chance we had, it very easily could have been 4-5-3. Arsenal. I mean, it's a bad performance when you're missing sitters from the six.
Oh, I think if Aubameyang
missed
a terrible
two.
Finisher, Mkhitaryan missed one. Mm-hmm. You could have three
shot.
More goals.
I'm
you
not mad at Mkhitaryan goals. For missing it as much as I am for Aubameyang. Aubameyang, we brought him in specifically to score goals, and when you have chances from the six, and when you have a flick-on opportunity from like 3 yards out, you got to put it in the back of the net. I mean, we didn't pay what 60 some. Odd pounds, million pounds for you to, you know, because you look good. That's definitely not the case. We brought you in here to score goals. So I think it's a little bit more the same, and maybe this is like a very optimistic viewpoint. I thought that, you know, the runs were off against City, causing us a lot of offsides. The ball was in the back of the net twice against City. James won't admit that, but it was.
Offsides, that doesn't count.
Well, no, I know. I'm making a point. Jerk off. Hold on a second. And then the finishing at Chelsea cost us, I think that, you know, at least 1 point. We'll be realistic. It cost us 1 point. I think we're hard done not to get a draw in that game just because of the chances, but whatever. play City, you play Chelsea, you have to look at it as getting the best team out in the world out of your way early and a top 5-6 contender out of your way early. And hopefully Unai's got enough mental stick to get these boys to win convincingly the next three games, which are very winnable matches.
Yeah.
We can go 9 points in 5 games. I think it turns the narrative around a little bit, and it's not looking so bad. I think these were games that Arsenal was fully expected to lose. Unfortunately, as a fan, it pains me to say that. But
I think you have a point, because to be realistic, these are the first two games of the season, and you're right. You're not expected to get anything against City. You're not up to scratch there. But against Chelsea, you like you said, you maybe could have earned a draw. But if you went into that thinking you lose two on the bounce, that's probably in the game plan for the season, and it's just the first two games. You're not out of the top four even yet, the race for that. I mean, look at how United's doing.
Yeah, no, because United's played two teams that are not going to challenge for the top eight.
They did beat
one. Tottenham's played two teams that are not going to challenge for the top eight.
They beat both of them.
I haven't been impressed by Tottenham at all, the way they look, and I haven't been impressed by Liverpool either in this latest game. But I think what you guys really need to worry about, I mean, you're switching defensive systems, you're switching your entire systems around. You've got a bunch of new players in defense. You're gonna struggle with defense for a lot of this season.
I think that there was in the second half of that Chelsea game, though, and even in the second half of the City game, our form was a lot tighter, and we were very hard done by goals in the second half of both games.
You're probably not going to consistently reach that level where you can play that tight game, because you're just sure. It's not like second nature yet. So that's why it hurts even more that you're not getting the finishing at the other end, because right now I think you're going to have to go at teams and outgun them, and missing sitters like you've been missing is totally unforgivable.
Absolutely. I agree. I have nothing else to say except for I agree.
Yeah. That's pretty close to what I was going to say. All I'll say besides that is that I think that both of these teams are either struggling with their defensive tactics, which is very possible. They've only been playing for like 6 weeks together with their new managers. In Chelsea's case, less, because they had Conte for like a week. But, I mean, neither one of these teams has any defense at all right now. Neither one of them.
I like Shiro's quote here. He said, "It's going to be hugely difficult for Emery to get rid of the scent of Arsene Wenger at Arsenal."
Yeah, and that takes time.
He's probably going to need 18 years. Months. 18 months and 3 transfer windows is what Shearer predicts that it'll take before you can really start to judge Emery at Arsenal. Do you think he has that much time, Ken?
I mean,
yeah. 18 months and 3 windows before you can even judge him.
I don't think that before you can judge him, I think that he will have 18 months because of what is, in light of what's happening behind the scenes at Arsenal with Stan Kroenke, making a push to buy the club. I mean, look at all the other clubs he's bought and look at what they've done afterwards. They've made a boatload of money and they have less than a 40% win ratio. So he's in it to make money. He's not necessarily in it to win games or titles or be this prestigious, you know, title wielding club. He's in it as for a cash cow. So if Unai can bring money into Arsenal, he'll have the time. Once Unai stops bringing money into Arsenal, that's when he'll be fired.
So is he going to be able to make the signings he wants to make then? Is he going to go
absolutely
down the Mourinho
not. Road? I mean, he'll be able to make signings, but they'll be on the cheap and he'll have to sell to buy. Like a lower, you know, seated team, a lower table team, which is not how Arsenal is going to fight back into the ranks of world elite. It just doesn't happen like that. You need a couple seasons to where you're going to give the manager time and you're going to give him not unlimited money to spend, but you're going to let him buy the players that he feels are missing pieces to the puzzle. And he's not going to get that at Arsenal, I don't believe. I'd be surprised.
You can definitely see a difference in the way Arsenal play.
They're more organized and there's a goal in mind, I think.
Yeah, even if they're not hitting that goal, but right. there's a goal there. yeah. No, I'm being serious. I do see that. I just think it's going to be a rough year.
We don't write your goal down and then meet it the next day. So, yeah, it takes time. I mean,
well,
yeah.
let me round this one up, guys, by saying that in this game, Chelsea had 24 shots and 11 on target, and Arsenal had 15 shots and 6 on target. Guys, that's a ton of shots on target. And that doesn't even count the two sitters that Arsenal missed. So this game very easily could have been 4-3, 4-4, 5-5. And I think that to me says that, A, come and get it if you're a lower league or a lower tier club.
For sure.
You can take points and all 3 points off both of these teams right now. That might change. The managers have time. And I think if they play that kind of defense, especially with Arsenal with that high line with slow defenders, if you play City like that, you're going to lose by 6. Like, I think that that's a really bad strategy. I mean, you have to be able to change that. I mean, guys, how many times did Chelsea, when they scored their goals, were the numbers in their favor? 3-on-2. To me, 1-on-1. Morata 1-on-1 versus Mustafi with no help at all. That favors the forward as well, or at least close to it, much more than you would like. And, I mean, Morata scored in this match. That's just, that should be all
you
guys need to know.
Is he back? Is he back?
No. Is he back? 5 games before he scores again.
I have another question. How much longer is Peter Cech going to be the starting keeper at Arsenal?
And I think that that might be the end of it. I believe Tom, honestly. I think that Leno is going to start now.
And
yeah, let him take his beating.
Did Kepa look like he deserved the transfer?
It's early. It's early. That was weak.
He looks really meek.
That's what I said. He's 6'1". Like,
Courtois definitely doesn't approve.
Well, and they made a comment. Do you hear the commentators? It was like maybe a couple of minutes after Arsenal scored their first goal, and it was off that weak wrist. Yeah. Petr Cech made a save just like that, but made the save, and they say, "Look what a strong wrist does for you." Oof, it was very
a lot
telling.
Of to go with that.
Burn.
Well, like very telling. Like that guy. I mean, like he's got a lot. I feel bad for him almost, but he's the one who did come out and say, "Why can't keepers cost a lot of money?" So he better start earning his keep.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if he's just so-so, you're not going to start Caballero there. So let's be real.
Heck no, I agree but every with that. Goal that
he has a lot of job security right now because you're not putting in Caballero.
He's got a lot of job security, but I mean, he's going to have to really stay away from the papers because they're going to annihilate him on a weekly basis if he keeps letting in goals like that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people want to kind of compare him to David De Gea coming in. De Gea had not a great first year. I mean, he didn't lose them the Champions League, get them knocked out, but pretty close to it because he kept trying to do kick saves all the time. And he had a tough time claiming corners, and he's 6'4". He was just like 6'4", like 150. Like, he was super small.
James, what
and
were you
wasn't,
saying about
super
De Gea
skinny.
A couple of days
but,
ago?
But Kepa, on the other hand, to me, is 6'1", and all the center backs that are going for the corner kicks are taller than he is, and they weigh more. Like, Kepa, he's not slight. I think he's like 190 or so. Like, he's not as slight.
He could
but
still
6'1
grow
is
a few
not
inches.
Good.
He could still grow.
He's 23. He's not, like, 19. De Gea was 19.
You don't necessarily stop growing until you're 25, I think I read somewhere.
Yeah.
Definitely read that somewhere.
You've been watching Dr. Oz again. It's terrible. All right, Chelsea 3, Arsenal 2. A good game for the neutral. Like Ken said, I don't think it's catastrophic for Arsenal yet. I do think that Emery will get some time. Initially, when you said 18 months, I said, yes, he should get 18 months. That's the optimistic side of me. I think that if he finishes like 8th, 9th, 10th, then he doesn't get the 18 months. I think
they're
he
not
only
gonna get
gets
any,
1 year.
They're not going to get anyone better than him. They're going to stick with him.
I think they should. But
Zidane's not going to Arsenal. Who are they going to get?
I mean, I don't want to speculate on that. There's a lot of
speculation. It's going to be hard to get any manager to go into Arsenal knowing full well that cash is strapped. And it's really not strapped. Yeah. It's strapped on purpose.
Yeah. They got Emery, and they're going to stick with him. He'll have the time, but he probably won't be able to bring in the transfers he wants.
Yeah. So let's move on, guys, to another team in London. Tottenham 3, Fulham 1, both these teams in London, actually. And, guys, you know you were saying you're not impressed by Tottenham, but sometimes Tottenham has this ability to be unimpressive and still win, and I think that's a really important trait in a club, and it's what's made them so successful and consistent in terms of their league finishes over the last 5 years. I think this is another example of that. They win 3-1. Harry Kane scores in August. Trippier with a ridiculous goal on a free kick that Dr. Pete said probably relieves Eriksen of his free kick duties, which is saying something. And Lucas Moura with his first goal for Tottenham. I'll start with you, Ken. Your thoughts on Tottenham and this match overall as a London derby?
I think it's just more of the same from Tottenham. I mean, just like you were saying, they are able to season after season to do a lot of good things under the radar of virtually everyone. So while everyone thinks that they're, you know, not doing anything and they go to look for them at the table, they look around the middle, but then they realize they're in third
closer to second than they are to fourth. I mean, this is just what happens with Tottenham. I don't know how they do it. I think it all comes down to, it's just management. I mean, I think Poch has got those guys kind of, he's got them in their lane. Everyone does exactly what they're supposed to do, exactly when they're supposed to do it. And it's not a well-oiled machine, because I fully do believe that it will be a very, very long time, a meaningful amount of time before they win a title of any kind. But I do think for consistency purposes, I don't see them falling out of the top three, four every once in a while for a long time, unless they lose a Kane or something. But this is what they do. I'm not surprised by it. I mean, I was more surprised that it was 1-1 for so long.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a better way to look at it. I mean,
than,
yeah, okay.
It being ending 3-1.
Tottenham won against a promoted team in a local derby. Like, that's a tough match for Fulham to walk into, second game of the season. I thought they played great for a lot of the game. I think they probably just got wore down towards the end.
It looked tricky for like 25 minutes for Tottenham.
I think Fulham looks like, I mean, if they can play like that, I think that they probably stay up. I mean, obviously 100%. Very early in the season, but they brought a lot of talent in. Ryan Sessegnon played really well. Mm-hmm. I think they have a lot of reason to take positives from that game. More so than Tottenham. For them, it was just another win. I think that, you know,
a win is a win.
It was expected of them, though. I'm just saying, Fulham can take more positives from that match than Tottenham can. I
don't agree with that. I mean, they won 3-1 at home with a lot of, not a lot of background noise. United has a lot of background noise, but some background noise. No signings, the stadium problems with it opening. You're playing again at Wembley. I mean, they knew they were playing this match at Wembley, but all of a sudden, you know, they're looking at playing probably half the season at Wembley. It didn't end up being a problem last year towards the end, and really for two-thirds of the season, they were very strong at home at Wembley. So I think that they played very well, and... You know, it's hard for us. We can't allow our barometer to go up to the City scale right now because, like Ken said, I mean, they're the best team in the world right now. So you can't compare every single match to City. This is a 3-1 win.
You're right. You're right. It's hard for me to see it that way, but...
I'll let you keep having your shots in. I'll let you keep having them. You know, you can have them while your team's doing this. You know, okay. you're not gonna win it all. You're not going to win 20 trophies this year. You're going to win one. So keep your little... Keep your little comments. You can keep going. I'll let you have it.
We'll see.
Piece of shit. All right. So Tottenham wins 3-1. And you have to say that it was a good win for them. Harry Kane gets his 3 points. He gets his goal. Whether or not Fulham was opened up at that point is another question. But they got the job done. And that's more than you can say for some other clubs this weekend. So a win for Tottenham. And we move on to Liverpool versus Crystal Palace at Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace is a plucky team, Ken, and can take points off you all of a sudden. Liverpool did the same kind of thing that Tottenham did. They got it done. I mean, they got a penalty kick, which was super soft. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Liverpool got it done. Their plan B is winning a penalty. They went up against Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace had them clocked. They were not... Like, yeah, Liverpool had their chances, but Crystal Palace were not wilting under some amazing attack. We're led to believe they've got the best three. They've got the best attack in the league or whatever you want to say. But Salah was off. Their attack was off. Crystal Palace was countering them and then had some amazing chances themselves. And if anyone other than Townsend's taking that shot, it might be a goal, you know?
And don't forget Benteke.
Crystal Palace was already playing down a man because they had Benteke up top. So, crazy. I mean, you got to give them some credit. And I hate Roy Hodgson.
Oh,
I hate
come
him.
On. Good old bloke.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. He's just old. Remembers. He's old. He's old and I don't like him. Okay? But he did a good job of playing against Liverpool today. Gave his team a shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unfortunate penalty. That was a total Sacco moment. That's, you know. Yeah. And having to play with defenders like Sacco is what's going to separate, you know, Crystal Palace from finishing mid-table or finishing towards the bottom.
I think they're still a mid-table team. I think they were fine today. Really, to me, close to a 1-0 victory. It is 2-0, but, I mean, a soft penalty. You're right about Salah. I feel like that was the poorest game we've seen him play in a while. Like, poor finishing from him. Just a little bit off. When normally when he's in the box, he just scores.
Yeah. If you're going to be off away to Crystal Palace. I mean,
during a win, yeah.
He did get the assist for that last goal, but if we're talking about how Liverpool played, that's after, 25 minutes after someone else. The Crystal Palace were playing a man down, so I don't count that as that sim being some awesome display by Liverpool.
That's fair. By any stretch. But it's still a win.
I don't think it always has to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
Especially away to a team that, you know, we're saying in this very conversation that they're, in your opinion, a defender away from either finishing around 10th or relegated.
I didn't say relegated. I said bottom half.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't have to be. Not everything has to be an awesome win, but... I mean, I'm reacting to Liverpool's attack being talked up.
Shots on target percentage. I mean, they were head and shoulders above Crystal Palace and everything that, you know, would really speak to a win.
I agree with James.
No, I see what you're saying. James,
the eyeball test to me, Liverpool's off. Yeah, for sure.
I'm just saying Liverpool's off.
Still got their win, though. That's important. But the thing is, they're being compared to City again. Yeah, you're still being compared to City in terms of play, and I completely agree with the idea of 6 points is 6 points, and especially when it's this early, teams are getting into the groove. And, I mean, Manchester City won 6-1. We'll move to that game. Manchester City 6-1.
Go back to Liverpool, though, to say you can't judge everything against City. Certain teams do have to be judged against City, and I think that if you're talking about Liverpool being the one team to really challenge for the title, you do have to kind of judge Liverpool's performances every week to City's performances every week. Not to the point of a 6-1 victory, but it's got to be decisive.
And with how much Liverpool
spent, I think it absolutely does, Tom, if you're going to...
With how much Liverpool spent?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't agree. I think that getting 3 points when you shouldn't get 3 points is how you win titles. I don't think you have to win every game.
Yeah, but if you're sitting around grinding out wins against Crystal Palace away...
No one's saying they shouldn't have gotten the 3 points today. As Ken mentioned, all the stats are in Liverpool's favor. I'm just talking about the state of play being not very impressive from Liverpool.
I agree with that, actually. That's the second time today. Yeah, so when you have City sauntering around, basically dancing their way to a 6-1 victory, and Liverpool is out expending all of their energy grinding out a 2-0 victory, I mean, albeit it was 2-0, but it does make a difference later on in the season. I mean,
yeah.
You're talking about a City club that you're going to basically, some team or two, hopefully, is going to have to be putting some type of pressure on, and it just looks more of the same. Like, it looks like it's going to be difficult for anyone to even put pressure on when you have the number two challenging team in the league that we think anyway, based on money spent and, you know, ambition, is struggling to beat, not on the scoreboard, but struggling to beat Crystal Palace.
I don't really agree with that. I mean, Real Madrid last year going into the season had won the league, they'd won the Champions League, and then they lost the league by 20 points. They were on the tip of the knife's edge for a long time. And when you fall off the tip of the knife's edge, it just happens. I do not think that that's going to happen to City this year, but it will happen. And it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if it did happen halfway through this season. I don't think it will, but it's not. History shows that these teams, they only stay at the top
for
so long.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be. I'm just saying it's so frustrating to see all these teams spending hundreds of millions of pounds, and we give them a pass.
And then struggling
every
against
week.
Crystal Palace, right?
Yeah, to say like, oh, well, they don't have to look good. Yes, you absolutely do.
Prem's hard. That's really it to me. I mean, the Prem's hard. Like, you're going to play against teams that... You know, that shouldn't take points off you. Last year when City was rolling, Crystal Palace took points off them, like a point off them. You would never thought that coming in. Crystal Palace was in 16th place when they got a 0-0 draw with Manchester City. No one else could stop City from scoring. It happens.
It was Huddersfield, I think.
And Crystal Palace.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying I think that we need to stop entertaining this notion that you can spend 100 million plus and say that it's not a big deal when you barely beat a team that is going to struggle to finish inside the top half of the table. I think that's very Everton, I feel like.
It's very United this season.
shut up, James. It was
great
Crystal
game, though.
Palace 0-0.
I'm not talking about 100 million
in
just
December.
Off in one summer. I'm talking about 100 million games. Plus for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Manchester City did win this match 6-1. Sergio Aguero, a hat trick in this one. Jesus scores a goal. It's impossible not to score a goal when you're a forward there. I have less and less respect for Jesus. He's starting to become one of my least favorite players. I don't know what it is. I think it's him crying last year when
he hurt his ankle. The way he looks.
Tom doesn't like expressive eyebrows. I've known this about for probably about 20 years.
That could be. Luckily, you don't really have eyebrows.
No, I don't. And they never move.
But anyway, let's talk about Aguero, guys. Yeah. Aguero's a man, obviously.
Looks sharp.
He look good-looking guy. There's a picture of the Manchester City.
I meant his play, but yeah, he looks good.
Too. Manchester City team going to the debut of the movie that they released, and yeah. It's a horrible. I'm gonna post it on our Twitter. It is a horrible picture.
Aguero
of guys
actually looks
that
okay
make
in that
millions.
One.
Aguero looks good. He's a good-looking guy, and he's just dressed in like black, very simple.
Yeah.
The rest of them look like the cast from Freaks and Geeks. Like it is just I couldn't believe these guys are millionaire athletes.
That's the
they all look terrible.
That's the state of fashion these
that's
days.
That's the
have
play
you,
though. Tom.
Have you walked terrible. Down the street in New York City? Tom, recently?
Not that recently.
Well, get out there in the
world.
Do
yourself a favor.
This is how people are dressing. All right? This is what it is to be human.
I don't want to do that.
To be alive.
That is terrible. But the play on the field was spectacular. 6-1 as they roll over Huddersfield.
Aguero could have had 5 goals in this game.
He could have. There's a really good stat that I think you'll like, James. It was that he's second all-time in Prem hat-tricks.
Yeah.
To Alan Shearer. I think Alan Shearer has 11, if I'm not correct. And
yeah.
Alan Shearer has 232 more matches.
Yeah. And actually, Aguero has total, I think he has like 13 or 14 hat tricks, but only 9 are
yeah.
in the league.
League, yeah, yeah, that's right. 13 or 14 City hat tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just brilliant from Aguero.
What a lot of people, the question I think in a lot of people's minds in the first 2 Pep seasons was, does Sergio Aguero fit the system? And there was a narrative. There was always a narrative, oh, Pep doesn't like Aguero, blah, 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 blah.
Well, it wasn't really a narrative. It was he said it. If he wants to leave,
he
can go.
He said, no, he said he can learn to play this way, but if he wants to leave, I'm not going to keep him here. But guess what Aguero did? He learned to play this system, and Pep came out after this game, and he said, look, this is the sharpest I've ever seen Aguero look. He looks amazing. There's absolutely nothing better he could be doing on the field right now. And I agree. Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Pete immediately after this game put a 5-spot, or before this game, I think, put a 5-spot on Aguero for winning the Golden Boot at like, it was like 10-1 or something.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is that I believe that City will rotate even more than they did last year. And how many matches did he play last year, James? Like 29, 30?
He only missed 4 games that he was available for selection.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the rotation will be the thing that keeps him out of the Golden Boot. Or if he gets injured. Unfortunately, he does seem to get injured for a month or two here, which if you want to win the Golden Boot, you really can't spend that much time on the
sidelines. He's won the Golden Boot before.
He has, but that was before, you know, Kane is going to be between 25 and 30, and
maybe.
It looks like Salah is going to be between 25 and 30. I mean, maybe, I guess.
I don't know how you get that off Salah. He hasn't shown it to
how,
me yet.
I mean, how did I get that off Salah? Like, he scores every game. That's how I get it off Salah.
Not this game.
I don't agree.
A couple stats I like coming out of this game. Aguero tied for first right now with goals with Mane and Carlson, my boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Benjamin Mendy, number 1 in assists so far with 3. And Ederson tied for 4th in assists with 1.
That's great. Ederson still wearing braces?
Week 2 of the season, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about stats.
All right. Well, I'm going to go through the other matches of the weekend, so we can jump into next weekend. But Cardiff City, Newcastle, Ken,
nothing.
Anything you want to say about that match?
Nothing.
I have nothing.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I lose interest outside.
No,
of
I do
the
too.
Top
this
six.
Game
I
was
mean,
horrible. A horrible, horrible 0-0 draw. That's all the time.
Who wants to be relegated more?
That's it.
Potentially both of them. So let's just move it.
We will. Bournemouth 2, West Ham 1. James, anything to say about this one?
No, except that I expected more from West Ham.
We always say that.
Yeah, but you know, they got Pellegrini in. I think he's not a bad coach. Of course, you gave me a lot of crap when City got rid of him for Pep.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's a good coach.
I think he's a good coach. I think he might have his work cut out for him getting this team together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they should be doing better. Bournemouth aren't slouches, but
I agree.
If you can't
West Ham's brought a lot of players
a 1-0 lead at home against Bournemouth, you can't be expected to do much more.
Yeah.
That's a good way
to
put it.
It's going to be an issue for them this season, the same as it was last season.
Leicester City 2, Wolves 0 at Leicester City. Ken, Jamie Vardy got a red card in this one, but Leicester City still wins. Does this mean anything to you this early for Wolves?
I mean, I expected them to have a win in the first 2 games, definitely.
I would agree.
But, I mean, I don't think that it means too much. I think that they're a newly promoted team, although I do not really hold them at the same level as other promoted teams because
I believe that they've done way more than everyone else to stay up. So I think that their off-field performance warrants more on-field performances.
I thought their first game they looked really good against Everton. I thought.
No, yeah, they were
good money for that draw.
No, yeah, no. So I just thought that they would have a win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll be a tough team to play against. I think they'll surprise some teams. They have good players.
Yeah, I was just looking kind of like an out of the gate surprise, not a surprise draw at Everton. I was looking for like an out of the gate surprise win. But, you know, here nor there, I don't think it matters right now.
Okay, that's fair. James, you get Everton versus Southampton here, and this is a shocker as Theo Walcott scores, and that's always a shocker to me.
That's crazy. I didn't expect it. But Carlson, not as
scores as well.
I like Rick Carlson a lot. I don't know if he's worth 50 million smackaroos.
Yeah, 3 goals in 2 games, might say. Otherwise.
But he has had 3 goals in 2 games, and I definitely have him on my fantasy team. And he's looking good right now. I like him. He's electric.
Good for Everton here as they get a 2-1 win over Southampton. Danny Ings scores.
Yeah.
Which was
You used to only see him on the sides of milk cartons. But he's back.
That's fair. That's very fair. Everton gets a win 2-1, a nice win for them. The other game on Sunday that we're not going to spend any time on at all, Watford 3, Burnley 1, and Watford 1, guys.
Burnley's got to be disappointed with that.
Yeah, they have to be. But Watford does seem to be a team that's going to stick around. They seem to make enough moves in the offseason to do that. Let's look ahead to next weekend. Wolves versus Manchester City. I'm interested to see how Wolves sets up for that match at home to see whether or not they drop their defensive line a little bit more and just try to sneak a win out. It's probably the way to go if you're a relegation battler.
Just like Huddersfield tried.
Mm-hmm. Arsenal versus West Ham.
I don't see Wolverhampton being a relegation battle.
Well, it could be. Arsenal versus West Ham.
London Derby.
The Emirates, a derby here. And Ken, what is your bold prediction for this match?
I mean, I think that this will be a good game to rebound against a tough first 2 weeks. Home game, West Ham. I mean, I don't see them doing too much. I'm hoping like 2-3-0. Decisive 2-3-0
to West Ham.
That's to great. Arsenal.
Oh, I thought you were talking about West Ham that bouncing back this whole time.
No. You could care less about West Ham bouncing back.
I think West Ham win this game. Jack Wilshere scores the winning goal. Aaron Ramsey watches from the stands.
Mm. Bold. Right. There's your bold prediction. All right, Liverpool versus Brighton. I'm not going to let either one of you predict there. I think Liverpool gets a solid win here, but I will hand it back over to James for Manchester City versus Tottenham, and then Ken, you'll get your shot. Your thoughts, James, on United versus Tottenham at Old Trafford?
United Tottenham.
I think that United will approach this as if it were an away game, set up ultra defensively, and I think they get absolutely smacked by Tottenham 3-0 at home. Harry Kane, 2 goals. Dele Alli with a nail in the coffin, 85th minute.
I'm sure Harry Kane has ever scored on United. Ken?
I don't know if it'll be 3-0. I don't know if it is 3-0, it will go down in that manner. I do not see United winning this game, though, unfortunately. I see it either being one of two ways. Either a 2-0 Tottenham win or the most boring 0-0 draw you've ever witnessed in your life.
I'm going with a 1-0 Manchester United win in the most boring 1-0 win you've ever seen in your life.
Which would be something, because we've all seen Man United 1-0 wins before, and they've all been crap.
Yeah, well under Jose for sure. Newcastle versus Chelsea there. I have a feeling that Newcastle gets a point here. I don't think Chelsea's as good as their record is, and I don't think they're ready yet. So I think they're still ripe to have points taken off them by other teams. But yeah, so Chelsea versus Newcastle. All right, guys, so with the way the table shapes up right now, do you guys have anything to say about the current status of the table? I mean, that is Manchester City on top, Liverpool second, Chelsea third, and then in the bottom, Huddersfield, West Ham, and Fulham with Arsenal in 17th place.
It could probably finish this way.
I should have set you up for that. I should not have set you up for that. Ken, anything to add about the table?
No, I think in 3 weeks' time, I mean, Arsenal have 9 points, and then we'll revisit.
Well, we'll hope so. All right, guys, that'll do it for this week. For Ken Lee and James Lewis, I am Tom Miller saying I hope everybody has an awesome week.